think it'll magically appear.
Okay, thank you. So we'll give you a little bit of a background. I get to present the money facts. we'll also go over the HEART collaboration strategy for CHWs, the newly formed CHW work groups, our strengths and challenges, and then future goals. So why am I showing you money and showing you numbers? So the reason, one of the reasons we put together HEART is because in June 2011, we had a Medicaid enrollment number, including limited benefits and full benefits, of 875,000 people. Now, in September 2014, that number has increased to 1.1 million people, actually. And as of September of 2014, we've had an enrollment of 1.18 million people in South Carolina enrolled in Medicaid. So that's roughly a 74% increase from July 2011 to September 2014. But despite those growth in numbers of the people that we're taking care of, our expenses have not grown significantly. We've actually only seen a 27% growth in our expenditures from 2007 to 2014. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're doing these different initiatives to save money and address health needs in our state. One more thing we want to let you know about South Carolina is that we are a managed care state, so all of our fee-for-services been reassigned and been put into our 6 managed care plans. We have Molina, Select Health, excuse me, Blue Choice, help me out here, Absolute Total Care, WellCare, and AdvoCare. So of the population that I shared with you, 88% of them are in a managed care population. So I'm going to introduce Julie, and Julie has been with our HEART Collaborative from the very beginning. She has been played a crucial role in moving our HEART initiatives further along, and so I will have Julie come up and share her experience.
Good morning. So the HEART initiative in South Carolina is a pretty exciting movement to bring together folks from across the state that had expertise to offer. So looking at population health and what needed to be done to create better access. Our state, as many of you probably know, did not choose Medicaid expansion, but our leadership of the Medicaid program and of our health and human service agencies has quoted a number of times that it's more than just having a card to be able to access healthcare. It's more than just having an insurance card or an insurance plan that allows you to be healthy and that allows you to access the system. So he believed in creating new ways and was not afraid to think outside of the box in terms of how can we help folks truly access the system and get the care that they need. So the Health Access at the Right Time was a group of various stakeholders that came together to address some of these issues and look at how can we think outside of the box and get more people into services and get the care that they needed. So what you'll see on the screen is a lot of acronyms. But these are examples of folks that came together and that were brought together at the table to address population health and the community health worker program. So you'll see our Medicaid program is under Health and Human Services, which is at the top. We have other initiatives called Access Health, which are community hubs where they try to work with folks, vulnerable individuals and folks without insurance to get them into care. DentaQuest is our program that manages dental services through Medicaid. Medical educators, CHWs, community-based organizations, which was why I was at the table from the very beginning, our public health consortium, health systems, universities, our area health consortium. So everyone was brought to the table and said, okay, we need all of this expertise from all of your different vantage points about how we can implement new strategies to help folks access care in a place that makes sense for them. And one thing I'll say on here is that, this looks lovely. We're not going to paint a picture that it was kumbaya all the time. Because when you get this many people in a room that have all kinds of different vantage points, of course there's going to be some conflict, there's going to be some disagreement, but at the same time, at least we were all at the table. You know, our voices were being heard, and it's not been an easy road in the last 2.5 years, but most of us are still there, and we're still working it out, and we're trying to figure out the kinks, so that's a good thing. So these are some of the programs that we have worked on in HEART, and the community health workers piece of it has by and far been the largest program and what we've spent most of our time on. Some of the others were pretty easy to implement and went pretty quickly. The school-based health services, support of Minute Clinics at the CVS as Medicaid providers, looking at free clinics and which of those who become hybrid clinics to accept Medicaid patients, some telemedicine, et cetera. So we've talked about a lot of those things, but the large chunk of our work is really in figuring out how to implement a CHW program. And then these are the work groups that have been formed actually twice now. We kind of formed them at the beginning, then had our phase one of implementation and decided, there's a lot to be learned, so let's go back and reform the work groups and look at these a second time, which is an important process because, you know, the state Medicaid office said, hey, you know, there's a lot to learn, and Ellie will go into that in just a few minutes about our strengths and challenges. But the training group, of course, looks at what are the core competencies, who has the availability in our state to train folks, what should the training look like. The policy group is sitting down looking at our Medicaid codes, looking at what is going to be our SPA whenever it's finalized to take up to the state, what needs to happen in terms of policy. And the models subcommittee, which is the one that I'm in charge of, coordinating, is looking at, okay, what are the models both for payment and also for functionability at the community level? How can we find the community health workers that are truly connected to the community and connect them to the system and make it work with the payment models that are out there? So we're taking, you know, a good look at what's happening in other states and how we might apply some of those lessons learned in our states. And we've called on some amazing expertise that's in this room. We've talked to Gail Hirsch and Carl Rush and, you know, asked them for their advice and support on this, and they've been wonderful. So that's one point I'd say is definitely call on your colleagues and folks who know about this stuff if you're helping to lead this in your state. The last thing I'll mention before I turn it over to Allie to talk about strengths and challenges is that in addition to this, we are currently forming a CHW association in our state. And our first meeting will be on December 19th, so it's coming up, and I'm really excited about it. Thank you. Again, I called on Katie Mitchell and a few other folks to say, how do we do this? I'm looking at a lot of your states, so if you have coalitions and you can give me advice, please do. But because this is our Medicaid initiative and community health workers that we're getting, you know, hoping to get funding through Medicaid, but we know that there's a much larger group of community health workers that are out there, and they also want to be represented. They want to be part of this process in a much larger way, and they want to have a voice and need to have a voice in education standards and advocacy, et cetera. So on December 19th, we're bringing together our CHWs and advocates, and we've got a lot of folks interested, so we're super excited about that. Now, Allie's going to talk about strengths and challenges and where we're going from here.
So before I get into strengths and challenges, I do want to show you a couple maps to further validate why we developed the Health Access at the Right Time Committee. This is a provider shortage map, and the gray indicates a shortage in primary care, dental care, and mental health services. And then the dots, if you can see them, show the rural areas in our state. So just by looking at this, you can see there are only three spots where there are no shortages at all. So this is just further declaration of what we need to do in our state. And then here's a map that shows where the concentration of Medicaid beneficiaries are. And the lines indicate high deprivation areas. So even with the programs we have going on currently, there's still a lot of work that we need to do. Director Keck was the director of the agency. He was there for 4 years, and he has a public health background. He's very open-minded, he's willing to try new programs, and he identified three strategies for addressing the health status in our state and also holding providers accountable for the care of their patients. So payment reform, having financial incentives and penalties to encourage best practices. The CHWs were encouraged because they can close the gap on health disparities and help deliver quality and effective care. Clinical integration through care coordination. Community health workers understand beyond medical care what patients need. They're in the homes. They focus on the social determinants of health. So having a community health worker as part of the care team can further the care coordination aspect. And then targeting hotspots. So looking at those maps and being very strategic in where we put our resources and invest in furthering the health of our patients. So strengths, like I mentioned, Director Keck comes from a public health background. He's very innovative and has great ideas and willing to take risks for trying programs to improve population health outcomes. We have a broad range of expertise from our HEART members. As Julie mentioned, they come from a variety of backgrounds, so we get a lot of different perspectives on how we can implement programs. Accountability. Our work groups have really brought accountability to the HEART committee and engagement, so having those work groups and having leaders have a leadership role. Data-driven decisions, so using our maps and working with the Institute of Families and Society to help plan our health interventions. Strong commitment from our HEART members. We have monthly HEART meetings, so we have our collaborative meet once a month, either by phone or in person. And then reaching out to other states. I think that has been extremely beneficial, learning from your strengths and challenges and how we can apply those to our programs in our state. And then emphasizing the community-based approach, so having our community-based leaders a part of HEART, providing their experience and perspective, and then having our managed care plans involved. Challenges, we have been working on our CHW policy since really the beginning of time, but more in depth the past, I guess, 4 months. It's been a very time-consuming, tedious process. We have a document that goes back and forth between work groups, and with all of the different backgrounds, we kind of lose track sometimes of what our vision is and what we need to stick to. We have all of these programs we want to implement. We have great ideas, but then we have to stick within the Medicaid guidelines and restrictions that we sometimes face. Data, we're always trying to make sure that we have the right data and we're making a sound decision when we do choose our programs. The preservation of the role of a community health worker. We have a lot of organizations, really our managed care plans too, who have these people in our communities who are called community health workers, and we are working on having a standard definition so we can preserve the role of community health workers, and we want to make sure that they get the respect they deserve. So when a provider hires a community health worker, they know exactly what to expect. And then also educating the health system providers and practices, making sure that they're ready to take on the role of a community health worker. This is a mind shift and new way of thinking, and so making sure that they are prepared to support and provide the infrastructure that community health workers need. Mentorship for community health workers, we're really looking at strengthening an internship type of program. We have 14 certified community health workers in our state, and we're looking to grow our numbers so we can further that process. And then it was a little difficult getting our managed care plans to support us, but through constant communication and feedback, I think they're starting to really grasp this. And of course, securing financial resources. So we're working on our state plan amendment to have community health workers recognized as providers in our state. We are trying to build community partnerships to fund and support these community health workers. As Julie mentioned, the development of the CHW Association, expanding the workforce, and then placing these CHWs in places with the most geographical needs. Increasing options for education. Right now, our education is face-to-face. We have mixed feelings about offering online modules and video conferencing. We know it's more convenient, so we're looking into options, and any feedback we can get from states on that would be helpful, too. And then we are looking for an official certification body to accredit or recognize our community health workers in our state.